I'm Chanel Scott, the queen of relationship talk.
I'm Josh Powell, two-time NBA champion.
I've journeyed from trauma to healing.
From the NBA to family, I've learned what really matters.
We've come together to unlock the secrets of successful relationships.
One conversation at a time.
One conversation at a time.
Welcome to Relationships Matter. I'm Chanel Scott.
And I am Josh Powell.
And we have an amazing guest here today. We have Miss Sabrina Parr, life coach. Welcome to Relationships Matter.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to jump right into it. So our house question is, why does relationships matter to you? We'll start there and then we'll take a journey.
So I believe relationships matter to me because I believe we were created to be in relation with one another. I think it's one of the most important things you can have is relationships. So I also feel like we weren't taught how to be in relationship. Mm-hmm. So being educated on how to do that and learning how to nurture your relationships is really important.
That's a beautiful response. I think for me, I want to know, like, what inspired you, mm-hmm. right, to be a life coach? You know, what got you into that part of helping people, you know, and being in that process?
I honestly think that was chosen for me.
Okay.
So as far back as high school, I was in some way, shape, or form coaching.
Okay.
You know, my teammates, encouraging them, motivating them, you know, trying to talk them into or out of things. I was even nicknamed Coach Parr while I was in high school. And yeah. I was not a coach. I was a student. I was an athlete. So it's part of my personality, and I always want people to do their best. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a hard time with being around underachievers and lazy individuals. So, and I won't just sit silently.
Having the same conversations over and over again with some of my own friends and family members was like, something has to change. And then myself doing some of the same things over and over again mm-hmm. and getting the same result. So we got to a point where it's like, wait a minute, I got to make a switch, you know, if I want to achieve the goals I want to achieve. So it's just always been my personality. And some people hate it. Some people love it. But I just feel like at your best potential, and most of my audience is women, when a woman is at her best potential, she makes better decisions.
Can you talk a little bit about like your upbringing? You know what I mean? I think that's important for people to know because then it helps with them understanding your perspective, right? And how you got your perspective.
So I had a very volatile upbringing. You know, I grew up around a lot of drug activity. Mm-hmm. Let's see. My mother lost custody of me when I was in seventh grade, maybe. Dad did about maybe 30 years in prison. Wasn't raised, you know, I found a liking to playing sports. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of my way of coping. Like I was coping and didn't know I was coping. So anytime I would feel lonely, abandoned, rejected, sad, angry, I would go play some type of sport mm-hmm. and I would feel better.
You know, like that's just been my attitude. And there's been days where, I kid you not, I'm in high school. I may not have ate in 2 days, and my coach would never know because my performance at practice would not change. Right. You know, until one day he took me to get something to eat and saw that I kind of like ate really fast. And he's like, when the last time you ate? And I'm like, well, it's 17 of us in the house. By the time I get home from practice, the food is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm hungry and I don't want to complain to my grandmother who's doing the best that she can. And I don't have the money to fix it, you know, so that wasn't easy, but I pushed through it. Mm-hmm. So weakness is not easy for me to hear or to empathize with mm-hmm. because it's like you can figure out something else. Like your body is stronger than you believe it is, you know. So I think that's why I get my toughness and just resiliency. Mm-hmm. It's because I got through days that people did not get through. You know, most people, most kids now, they don't have a ride somewhere. They're just not going.
Right.
They're not even going to call auntie or they're like, well, daddy ain't here to take me. I'm not going to basketball practice today. Mm-hmm. I used to run like 5 miles to practice, just to practice. because I didn't have a ride. But the alternative was, oh, I don't go, and then I don't get better. Right. And if I don't get better, then how can I ever go to school to play this sport that I said, you know, so it just made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then the more you, and I know you understand this, Josh, because you're an athlete, the more you push past certain thresholds, the greater your threshold becomes, you know, so. And I don't want to get into all my upbringing, but it was a lot. It was very hard and challenging, and I parent the total opposite now. You know, I provide everything I did not receive. I give what I was not given because I know how important it is. And I don't want my kids to go through extra challenges. Mm-hmm. Life is going to be challenging enough. So in the home, I want it to be as easy as possible.
So how does those survival skills, like growing up, right, and now being extremely independent and everything that you just described, how does that play a role in your relationships, though?
Now, I've toned it down a lot.
Okay.
Growing up, I was the girl that, like, ran from relationships, didn't want anybody to connect with me. But I went through so much therapy, and I started, like, clinging to women in my church. If my friends had, like, both their parents were married, I would kind of just really watch the wife, you know, and just kind of adapt to some of those behaviors. Mm-hmm. But you can see in relationships when you're doing something that is not working.
Okay.
You can just look at somebody's body language and be like, oh, he didn't like how I said that. So I had to fix stuff. But I was very dominant, bossy, combative, you know, argued every point. Mm-hmm. Had to be right, had a hard time seeing his side. Mm-hmm. And this was probably all the way through when I was like 27.
So how did you temper that? Like, how did you make the transition?
Well, I had to.
Okay.
I was like, or I'm going to keep failing, you know. Right. But like I said, I noticed things I was doing was not working.
Okay.
So asking questions. I am big on just asking a woman, how should I handle this? What should I say here? You know, and being okay with the response. So through my marriage and my last engagement, I had the same therapist. So she knew me very well. Mm-hmm. And she did not have a problem saying to me, Sabrina, you're wrong. And you need to fix it. And you probably need to fix it today, you know. And I just had to receive that, you know. But because I trusted her and I respected her, I would then go to her and ask specific things. Again, how do I do this better? And again, like paying attention to the man's body language and how he responds to me. Mm-hmm. You know, men will show you how they're feeling about you.
Right.
So if he's unhappy, I don't mind asking what's wrong here. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to be like, well, you said, so this is why I said, you know, because that doesn't work either. He's not going to want to talk to me.
Right.
But also another thing I want to bring up, hanging with men helped me a lot. Growing up the way I did, being an athlete, being sometimes the only woman in the room, you hear what they talk about. They complain. They tell you what the issues are with women. Mm-hmm. So I would be crazy to not hear this and be like, oh, I need to stop doing that. You know, like, oh, wait a minute. So she keep calling you and that's the reason why you're not going home? A woman thinks because I keep calling, he should come home. Mm-hmm. He's feeling the opposite. Like, man, she keep calling me, I'm not going home. You know, like just listening to those things.
Right.
But women be like, you ain't see me calling you? And he like, no, I didn't. Because he doesn't want to go to whatever reason you keep calling him for. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just really paid attention and just sunk in all the knowledge. It's like school. Like, and I'd be like, oh, okay, well, he don't like that. And she don't even know that he don't like, you know. So I've just always been okay being a student. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I love about me, I want to please the person that I'm with. Mm-hmm. Like, tremendously. Sometimes to a point where it's like, let me just do that first, just study him to figure out what he wants to even see if I can do it. Because if I can do it, I need to bow out gracefully. So just a simple question asking your man, how do I please you sexually? Or what's the best sex you've ever had? Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to ask that question. Because if it's something outrageous, it was nice meeting you. I cannot fulfill that desire and I am okay with that. Right. But someone be like, oh, he don't need that. I ain't doing that.
Right.
But he does. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't tell him, just like he can't tell you what you need.
Right.
What if you say, I need a provider? He like, no, you don't. You can pay these bills. you're not going to stay with him, right or wrong.
Definitely. I think it's interesting. I'm listening to you and you talk about like you hung out with men, right? But then there are also influential women in your life as well. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you said something during the, before we went live.
Okay.
About how you typically side with the man. Yes. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, she's going to answer that when we get back. Relationships matter. Relationships matter.
Welcome back to Relationships Matter. So before the break, I'd asked you a question. I just by listening to you, I heard you talk about some influential women. But offline, you said, you know, I typically side with the man. Talk more about that.
So I just honestly feel like men are more logical and women are more emotional. So women respond with emotion, men respond with logic. And this is why I side with the men, because they just want to figure out the problem. Mm-hmm. Women want to continuously say the problem and, you know, and not really actually address it.
Okay.
Almost like they're creating a bigger problem.
So how do you address it? So we're going to walk
through. So let's give an example of a problem. Yes. You give me an example of maybe a problem that you experienced in a relationship.
No, I want to use the example that you gave offline. You said that a woman, you said that a man will say, I need this.
Oh, okay. So, right. For example, if a man has been gone all day, mm-hmm. you know, or however long enough for a woman to keep calling him, mm-hmm. she feels like because I keep calling you, you should be on your way home or you should pick the phone up. Mm-hmm. Most men, I'm not going to say all because not all men are the same, but most men, for that reason, won't call back or won't come home mm-hmm. because you keep calling. So if there's an emergency, just text them the emergency. The reason why you're not doing that, because there isn't an emergency. It's right. just our controlling ways. We just want you when we want you and how we want you to be. Mm-hmm. So he knows if he calls, all you're going to do is question him. So they push back, you know, and they pull away when we try to yank them at us, mm-hmm. you know, and we don't, as women, we have a hard time seeing that, not knowing if you just give him his time or if it's really something that he forgot to do or you need him to do, shoot it in a text message or whatever. If he didn't answer, he might be like, oh, okay, right. I do need to get home for that. Mm-hmm. But I've heard so many men say, because she fussed so much, it make me want to find something to do so she can actually fuss about, you know, or because she's always questioning me about something, it makes me just want to be defiant. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And who am I to argue with how a man feels?
Right.
Now, what he does with his feelings is on him. But if he's saying, this is how I feel, that is how he feels. I have to then address his feelings. We always want our feelings addressed. As women, that's like, it's the right. worst thing in the world if you do not address our feelings.
Right.
But with a man, it's almost like you can't feel no type of way. You got to feel how I'm feeling. And we do this subconsciously. Like,
so
we don't even
bring
know.
Balance to that, though.
You have to get over yourself and find something to do.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Great points. And this could be helpful and healing for most people, right? So you already broke down logic versus emotion.
Yes.
In the midst of the storm, what do you feel is necessary in order to bring about a solution? Because on one side of it, as important as logic is, that woman is like, I need you to hear me. Mm-hmm. And feel me, right? And then the man on the other side, obviously, he's like, listen, we're trying to bring a solution about.
Right.
But we keep going back and forth about something that's keeping us stuck and stagnant. What do you feel? If 10 couples all feeling what they feel is a great balance with logic and emotion in order to create the proper solution.
So let me just say this. You know, I like to call myself a non-expert expert, right? Because we're all still learning.
Absolutely.
I think all 10 of those couples need a mentor or relationship coach or someone that they can call on who's a neutral party, number
right.
one. Someone who's not going to take the side of whoever. They're going to take the side of right. I think too many couples struggle by themselves, and they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. The second thing is you need to know your partner's love language. Because if, and I'll use my ex as an example, he really liked physical touch. So I knew if I touched him gently, I could have his attention. And then, in those moments, I can then change my tone to a voice where he can receive it to get my message across. When I tried the yelling and screaming and stomping around, he's just running around scared of me because he don't know what's going on and he doesn't like, you know, me being combative. But learning how to communicate with your partner and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. For a woman, it may be different. You know, if she likes receiving gifts, maybe coming home with some chocolate or whatever. Now she's happy you bought her something. She's in a position to receive what you got to say. But we just want to talk the way we want to talk and hope the other person is going to hear it. And that's not realistic. And then learning to say, hey, when is a good time for us to talk about this problem? And allowing, I made a video about this, like asking your man, this is something I want to talk about, when is good for you? And if he says Wednesday and it's Sunday, you can't be like, Wednesday, that's too long. That's the day he said. Put it on the shelf. Now, come Wednesday, he knows, okay, I told her I was going to talk Wednesday. We'll talk Wednesday. If he's avoiding it, that's when having another person come in will help, or just saying, this is very important to me. You know, we need to sit down. But just how you communicate instead of feeling like someone is in charge. So when I wrote that book, I wrote it in the form of being teammates because that's what you are in relationships. And when you really understand what your teammate's role is, you don't fight as much because whatever you have the same battle, number one, right? You're trying to win the same thing. You should. So if you know you have the same goal, you can work towards that goal collectively. And most relationships, they are competing with each other, competing for space, time, intimacy, attention, you know. So it's like, well, I got to do something that tops what she did yesterday. Or he made me mad. I'm going to be mad at him all day. I'm going to punish him. You can't do that on a team. You know, we see that in basketball. If somebody's freezing somebody out and he not scoring, so nobody can score because he didn't froze his whole team out. Because he's mad because somebody didn't shot three times and missed. It doesn't work. And I use sports analogies a lot because I'm an athlete. But anyways, so working together and just figuring out, how does my man receive me? What does that look like? When is he most able to listen to me? Is it late at night? Is it early in the morning? Is it midday? Like, learning this about your partner. Because if it's early in the morning, get him early in the morning. Mm-hmm. If he's not a morning person, don't try to come with him something in the morning. You know he's not going to want to hear it. And then everybody's day is messed up. Because you tried to push something on him. Same for the man. Men are not as complicated as women, though. I hate to say that. You know, they're very simple. So they'll kind of figure it out whenever. We feel like we got to do it right now.
Yeah.
Why are, in so many times, you know, and just for an example, because I could say the same thing for a man, too. But I feel like when you talked about communication and communication styles, why are women so willing to give but not receive? What I mean by that is, you spoke about the yelling and all of those things, right? But when a woman is met with that type of energy, she feels so disrespected and unloved in those moments as well. Why do you think that that's such a thing?
Because that's how she was brought up. Mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of like mimicking what we see, mm-hmm. you know, what we experience. So in our culture, African-American women, majority of the women grew up in single family homes. Mm-hmm. That's decreasing now, thank God. But the years we were growing up, most kids did not have both parents in the home. Mm-hmm. And if they did, the father was the provider.
Right.
The mom did not work as much. Moms are working more than dads now. You know, it's just the reality. So dad may have been very verbal. You know, maybe there was some abuse happening in the home. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was infidelity. Mom was always angry. So the daughters adapted to that same behavior. And she became that. That doesn't mean that she likes it. So it kind of is traumatizing when a woman is yelling and then a man yells. It's almost like the audacity. But she never learned how to convey her messages any other way. Right. I was that woman. I did not know how to get a point across without raising my voice until I learned my point is not even getting across because I'm raising my voice. Right. You know, and it took someone to tell me, like, I cannot hear you when you yell. But as an athlete, I'm like, this is what we do. You know, like, you're raised to be loud and aggressive and a beast. But it's like, yeah, but as a woman, that has to be turned off in a relationship if you want to date a man that actually wants to respect you. You know, so it's almost like you got to pick and choose as a woman. What do you really want from a man? I also think that's a huge issue. I don't think women really know what they want from a man. I think they just want a man. And then when they get the man, they're like picking them apart because it's not the man that you wanted or needed. But you don't take enough time to even see, does this work for me or do I just want a partner? But that comes with like being confident as a woman, being able to say no to certain people too.
When we come back from break, I want to talk to you about what that process looks like in choosing. Okay?
All right.
We'll be right back.
Relationships matter. Relationships matter.
Welcome back to Relationships Matter. So we have Miss Sabrina Parr here with us. And Sabrina, I want to ask you, how do you practically work through the process of picking the right man, from your opinion?
So I'm a different type of woman. So when I'm dating, I date multiple people at one time. Okay. And I want to openly say that. but let me also give you my definition of dating.
Okay.
Collecting data from more than one person.
Okay.
You know, when I say dating, it's like, that's why if someone sees me with someone, they're like, oh, you dated such and such. No, I didn't. You saw me with him. You know, dating is like, okay, I'm actively trying to understand and learn this person to see if this would be a good fit or not. And I don't do that one at a time. So I don't feel exhausted giving 2 years to one person and then, okay, let me meet one. No. If I'm in a season of dating, there's multiple guys, okay? I also know what works for me. So I can't make adjustments and excuses for what I know doesn't work for me for the sake of me liking somebody. And I'm not talking about like, oh, he got to be 6'10 and he's not, so never mind. No, because those are not, I'm not that particular. I'm talking about like your salvation, you know, are you spiritual? Do you know God? The age of your children, if you have them, how you operate with your other children. Like these are non-negotiables for me. You know, your drug activity. I've learned throughout the years, these things do not work for me. So if someone comes across me and they're trying to date me and you have these things, I cannot date you because I know it doesn't work for me.
Right.
You know, so asking the questions that you need to know quickly, like the first date.
See, quickly. You see, quickly, that's the operative word.
Like figure it out
quickly.
I'm a big.
You know, like the first couple dates, you ain't got to bombard him with questions, but throw a couple things in there to just understand his mindset, you know, and why you're sitting in front of him, you know, because he'll tell you very quickly because most men are naturally in a, I don't want to be in a relationship mode. Even if they're lying, they want to elude to, I'm not going to be in a relationship with you for whatever reason. Cool. So what could that dynamic look like? Like, these are the questions you got to ask and be okay with the answer. I see so many women hear a guy say, I saw a post about this earlier. He'll say, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. I'm just having fun. I don't want nothing too big and too serious. And she continues to fall for him. Now, why would you do that?
No, I'm going to ask you. How do you manage, there again, how do you manage that? Like if you're...
Well, my emotions are spread through multiple men. It's easy.
Okay.
So, and people might think I'm being funny, but I'm being serious. Like even my ex, when I met him, I was dating other people. Those other people got pushed away once we decided to move forward and be committed to one another. So while he was doing his thing, I had other things to do. That's when I initially said, like, find something to do and get over yourself. Like, if you have other things to do, even if, let's just say a guy stands you up on a Wednesday, well, you should already have a date set up on a Thursday. So that's not going to bother. I'm not going to be at home sad about the Wednesday when the Thursday was set up. I think by default, women feel like it's better for them to only date one guy. I think it's great to only have sex with one guy. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. You should be sexless during this dating process. And then the sex should be given to the guy that you're committed to. And I know that's not everyone's reality, but that keeps... You also got to know you as a woman. Mm-hmm. If you are, you know, thrown off by sex, a lot of women have sex and they're like, my man, my man, my man, you know... Mm-hmm. Don't have sex. You should have lunch dates. You should have breakfast dates. You should have, I got to be home by 6 o'clock dates to get out of that sex time, you know? And I do that sometimes on purpose, like pretend like, hey, I got something to do with my kid at 6 o'clock. Number one, it gives him enough time for the rest of the night to go set up whoever he want to have sex with and ain't got nothing to do with me. And it lets him know that's not the type of time that I'm on. You know, and so if I know I can't handle sex and keep moving forward, if you're not willing to move forward, I have to remove it. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to be strong enough as women to say, these are the boundaries. And you don't literally say to a man, these are my boundaries. You know, you just react. Mm-hmm. You just are who you are and he will adjust to it. I went through a season where you could not text my phone after 11. Now, no one knew this. I just would not respond after 11. And then after in the morning, I would say, oh, good morning. I would sleep by the end. Was everything okay? Mm-hmm. You know, so he learned, okay, I can't text her after 11. I got to text her before or I got to catch her in the morning. I'm just showing him how you have to operate with me. Mm-hmm. With my ex, I had 18,000 boundaries and fences up to the point where I was like, he ain't gonna never jump these fences, you know? But it was because I need to see who you are. I need to see what you're here for. So it was like, listen, I have two kids in my house. My niece is staying here. I don't want no man around them. You can't come over here. I ain't bringing them over there. I can't leave them by themselves too long. So these are our hours of the day. You know, if you want to see me, I'm at the gym from, you know, like, because it was like, let me see what this effort is like. And men are hunters. Women forget this. Throw them a little bait. They'll hunt. They'll hunt you down. If they're not, they do not want you. It's very simple. So if you're not pursuing me, and I'm not saying run from him and let him chase you. I'm saying show interest and see how much he pursues the interest. Mm-hmm. If you pay attention, you'll be able to see, is this person worth continuing to date or not? So it's easy for me to handle the emotion because it's not just on one person. Mm-hmm. Now, once you commit to the person, that's when you got to get some help. You got to get some assistance. Books, I keep saying, coach, check with your mama, you know, whoever you respect right. in your life. Mm-hmm. I use other men. I have male friends. I run things past them and be like, how did this sound? Stupid, don't say that. You're going to get cheated on if you say, okay, great. You know, or I practice on my son, gentleness, serving him so that I don't have an attitude when he need me to do something. I practice on my father. My father drives me insane. So if I can be calm with my father, I know I can be calm with my man. Mm-hmm. You know, just being mindful of my choice of words and looking at his body language. His body language will change. If I said something he didn't like, we would know it. We would see his body change. When I say something he likes, he kind of sits up. It's just natural. He doesn't even know he's doing this. But if I pay attention... Even if you touch somebody in a certain way, they'll change based on if they like it or if they don't like it. So just not being so involved with yourself that you cannot pay attention to the other person. Mm-hmm. But yeah, date at least two guys at once.
In your dating experiences, what are some of the things that a guy can do to pull away from the pack?
Like
what are some things?
Being consistent.
Okay.
I like to talk, so stop, don't text me all day. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can't call me, great, but, like, men who pull away from the pack call me every day, multiple times a day. Maybe not so much in the early stages,
right.
But, like, from, like, week 1 to 3, like, I need to hear from you at least every single day. Mm-hmm. And I need you to make an effort to see me. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to call and make a reservation. I'm not that serious, you know, mm-hmm. But, like... Say, hey, I want to see you, and we can figure it out collectively. I'm too old school. Texting me to death is the easiest way to get ignored. And what else? Supporting whatever I have going on.
Okay.
So I used to meet a lot of guys that were like, oh, call me when you get done with all of that. And then I'm pulling up to whatever they got going on. Well, I just had a whole day worth of events. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't ask about it. You weren't interested in it. You know, like, that bothers me. So the person that's like, oh, you got this going on? Okay, shoot me the information. Right. I want to support you. Mm-hmm. That really makes me be like, oh, okay. You know, and not, I don't like to be hidden. I'm the girl that you can't hide me. So whoever you, they finding out because I'm coming outside with you, you know? So making an effort to not hide me, it works for me, you know? And unfortunately, I'm not gonna say unfortunately, but the world that I'm in now, it's very hard for me to attract guys that don't have some type of name. I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because these guys feel the most confident in approaching me because of their status or whatever they've experienced. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I was like, you know what? I would just love for a normal bus driver to just shoot his shot. He's not going to do it.
Right.
You know, the guy that owns the bus line, you know, that's pulling up to make sure everything is, he's the one that's going to be like, well, you look good. You know, like, so these type of men, I know they have the capability to move their day around a little bit, you know, because they have a little bit more flexibility. I'm not saying they're free, but they're just bosses in their own world, you know, and they've dealt with certain type of women. So that comes, it's just a different type of dating, you know. And a lot of times it's challenging because you have to get into their day. You know, it's not as easy to get into their day. But my brother taught me something in eighth grade that I'll never forget. He told me that a guy who has a lot of money, who's spending it on you, means absolutely nothing. He said, we have money, we allot a certain amount of money to spend on women. He told me this when I was in eighth grade. He was like, literally, he was hustling. So he was like, I set aside my ones and my fives for women. This is what I know I'm spending on them. I don't even count this for me. He said, but a man who has a lot of money and spends time with you is someone that actually likes you and values you.
Absolutely.
He said, so measure him by the time he's spending, not the money. He said, because he's spending that same amount of money on probably three other girls. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if he's making it fast or if he has just a whole, it's disposable to him. And so I would literally, I still gauge that. You know, I know you're busy, you booked and busy. How are you fitting me in? Because if you don't fit me in, I know you don't really care about me or I'm not a top priority. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not a top priority for you, you're not going to be a top priority for me.
But even in the context of multiple dating, though, because I was going to ask you, just like you mentioned, like, OK, come support me. Right. But what about the other three that's coming to support?
They all my homeboys at that point. God. They all there. Hey, y'all. You know, what's up? I'm just saying, like, but no, because I've been in these situations. Yeah. But like once one separates themselves, then you have a conversation. Okay, you remember such and such? We was kind of dating a little bit. He might be a little irritated, you know, now that I'm... You know, have you ever gotten with a guy and all the women was pissed?
Yeah.
Of course, because he picked you. They just got to fall back. They'll be all right. Same with me. They will be all right. But you didn't even know they was all there. They just coming out the woodwork. They sending you DMs. I was with him yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay, girl. Well, we're together today. You know, like, you just got to kind of do it the way they do it a little bit. And not nasty, because sometimes the men can be a little nasty. But, like, have other options so you can pick better. Mm-hmm. It's like a better, it just looks better. We don't go to a car lot and there's one car. And you're like, let me drive this. No, you want to see. You want to test drive a couple cars and then say, you know what? This is the one I like the best. Leave these for somebody else. And don't actually like test drive it, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like when I'm in those situations, I can plan accordingly. He's planning accordingly. I guarantee you he is going on multiple dates that week, baby. Easily.
So when we get back, the relationships matter. We're going to talk about the features on the car.
Yes. Yes, let's do it.
Relationships matter. Relationships matter.
Welcome back to Relationships Matter. So before we went to break, Josh was asking about the features on said car. So go ahead, Josh.
I mean, you already said it. I mean, but first and foremost, to the regular gentleman listening, please... have confidence and shoot your shot.
And within your price range. Don't come in there with a 500 credit talking about, let me look at the Benzes. Go on over there with the Toyotas and the Hyundais. Okay, that's all you're qualified for at this time. Now, if you want a Benz, come back when your Benz ready.
Okay.
I agree.
Respect.
I'm just saying, isn't that how it works when you shop for a car?
Like they say, stay in your lane.
Gotta get your credentials up, you know? See, I like to shoot. I like to date out of my league. I like to first see what it's going to take to get you and then go back and get my life together and then be like, I'm ready, what's up? That's just me personally.
That's my first time hearing that one.
Oh, no, I really enjoy that. You know, but that's the athlete side of me, too, the competitive side, you know, like aiming for a super high goal. And even if I don't achieve that one, I'm still going to land really high because I aim so high. But yes, let's talk about the features of the car. Yeah. So are the cars the women or the men?
So because it's you, right, we're talking about, you know, from a woman's perspective. When you're looking for a guy, because the reason why I feel it's important to hear that is because you are in rooms that most women aren't in.
That's true.
So you're able to see a wide range or experience a wide range of men that could be, you know, interested in you or shooting their shot. But to help a woman who's trying to just figure this out, maybe she's dating multiple men, maybe she's trying to figure out, you know, what she likes or what that even looks like or what healthy looks like. That's why I was just saying, like, you know, what for you, what are some of those things that are extremely important when you're thinking about, and again, I'm not talking about the pool of men. I'm talking about that person that gets to that point, right, that levels up. What does that look like?
So I'm going to say for the woman who isn't me.
Right.
You maybe you're new to dating or maybe you just got out of a relationship because I've been kind of single since my last relationship. Here's another thing about me, side note. I'm never a girlfriend. I'm either, like, engaged to be married or he's my friend. Like, I don't do the girl. I think that's just a game. Like, and that's just my girlfriend is not a real title for me. So we're either getting to this point of marriage or we're
you
just
skip
friends.
Girlfriend?
Yes.
So he has to, like, y'all have to be in this serious
thing. He doesn't have to do anything.
I don't mean it like that, but I'm just saying for the sake of, you understand what I'm saying. Like, I'm just saying, like, y'all are dating or getting to building. You're building.
Yes.
Right?
For something.
And right. So it's not I'm your girl. It's like y'all are building and then it's like proposal.
Correct.
Respect.
And if
I like that.
Respect.
And honestly, that is how I was this way in middle school. Didn't even know this, but when I operate this way, it makes them move a lot faster, either out of my way because they're not ever going to be ready, or they commit faster because the things they really want from me, they know they cannot get until they show me this commitment. Mm-hmm. But that takes a very confident woman, a woman who's not afraid to say, that man is not talking to me anymore. I haven't heard from him. I don't know what happened to him. You know, women don't like to say that. So they try to hold on to whoever they have as long as they can. I don't mind saying it didn't work out.
Can you talk about the process? Because I think that's important, too. Like, what that looks like from here to proposal.
Okay,
and the reason being is because a lot of times, in my opinion, right, the woman could be doing all of these things. And then, you know, obviously when sex get involved, you know, there's just whatever that entails for you, because that could potentially help somebody else, because there's all of these different rules and regulations and everybody's and all this stuff. But, you know, from your perspective, you know, what does that look like in a healthy sense?
So number one, you know, as a woman, I have a timeline and when something is taking too long. I don't share that with him, though. Like, talk less. You know, even if a guy says, you know, there are some men, believe it or not, that say, like, what are we or what are we doing? Or nothing. Like, don't even answer the question thoroughly. I'm good. Just pay attention. But, like, if you're really just creating, I know I keep using this word boundary, but it's like, if you just don't do certain things, he will try to figure out, how do I get that from you? And my ex asked me, like, all right, so when can we start having sex? And I was like, well, let's talk about it, because I know you're having sex with other women. I said, so when does that stop? You know, but like, being able to be around somebody and withstand from sex is not easy. Mm-hmm. So you got to, but if you know that complicates things for you, mm-hmm. don't do it.
Right, I agree with
that. You know, it's like, in that particular relationship, that would have complicated things. Because he had sex with so many people, it was like, I don't want to be another notch under your belt.
Right.
So I can't give you that notch, you know? And so I had to keep going home or whatever. I had to be okay with knowing he's doing this with other women and not bringing it up.
That's the biggest one. Outside of sex, real quick, because I don't want to stop your flow. You're killing it.
Just being committed.
Communication. I want women to be able to understand what it looks like.
Yeah. I struggle with my friends with this. Is he calling you? Yes or no? If he's not, are you requiring the call? Can you say it in a nice way? If you convey that you need to be called and he doesn't do it, move on. He's not that busy. That's a lie. Men have two phones and they both in his pocket. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that. When the money calls, he answers the phone. So, yeah, right. So, but just saying, like, hey, I really enjoy when you call me in the morning and I hear your voice before my day starts. Mm-hmm. Now he's heard it. If he doesn't do it day after day after day after day, there's a reason why he's not calling you. You don't even gotta learn the reason. Just understand, this has not worked for me. Women make excuses for the reason why he's not calling and just to stay with the guy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. So I just kind of put out there the things that I like. You know, oh, this is my favorite rare wine. They have it at this restaurant. When are you free for us to go? You know, not a ball is in his court. Right. Not, you don't never take me nowhere. That's a different tone, but the same message. Mm-hmm. You know, like I just conveying it differently. You know, shutting my phone off after 11. He knows after 11 you can't get through my line. You know, or if we created a boundary, I don't want to have sex right now, but we can get on the phone and do a little flirt and stuff after 11. That works, too. It's still protecting you, right. You know, but just figuring out what you need in order to feel safe with this man. Because we want to feel safe. We want to feel like he chose us. We feel secure. We're safe. And he wants peace. So if you can get a little bit of what you're asking for, we got to ask for it. We can't assume he's going to give it to us. And you give him peace, you'll get to that ring way faster.
Talk about the behaviors that drive women to do the exact opposite of what you just described.
Like the behaviors of men?
Their behavior, the neediness. Yeah, you know, or just the...
Just not having enough of other stuff to do. You know, like, outside of work, what else do you do? You know, do you have a hobby? Do you have a project? You know, what do you do with your kids? Sometimes I'm so busy, I forget, you know, like, dang, I got to tap in with such and such.
Right.
You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? And they kind of like that. He's confident.
The multiple dating thing, because I'm like, there have been times where I want to call, but I may forget to call. And I'm like, oh, dang.
The guy that you really, really like, you're not going to forget to call him.
Sometimes I get so caught.
Thank you.
I'm married to my purpose, though. But you're right, though. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
There are men that are married to their purpose and still have a wife, and he still makes time for his wife.
Yeah, I agree.
You could do both. It just, if you're forgetting, it's because you don't really like him as much as you think you do.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, set reminders. If you notice what he likes... Mm-hmm. I used to have so many reminders in my phone for stuff that I didn't necessarily care about, but he did, just so I won't forget it. But that's me just being a listener, you know, like, okay, I know he needs this, so let me just go ahead and do it, you know, but just understanding.
But let me ask you this, realistically, so, like, I understand the multiple dating, and you're definitely different than most.
Yes.
But, like, say, okay, you date multiple men, right? Or say you might like one or two of them. And
right.
You run into them out in the street, and they're with another young lady. Now, I kind of know how you would probably respond.
I'm by myself?
Yeah, you're by yourself, and you see them.
Okay. I've been in that position.
So how do you handle that? Because we'll say, well, you know, y'all are just dating. You're just friends. It's nothing more than that.
I don't say anything.
Okay. But I'm saying that in your mind, you're like, well, we're just dating. Or someone who's not in that situation will say, well, y'all are just friends. They minimize it.
Yeah.
But that changes the dynamic. When you see someone that you like with someone else, that changes the dynamic of the relationship or how you see them. Like, even if
But why? It shouldn't.
It does, though.
That's the emotional part of women.
Yeah.
It shouldn't change the dynamic. Like, you can feel however you feel. But the dynamic should stay exactly the same. It'll almost throw him off that it doesn't change the dynamic. Because he's going to expect you to be different. Oh, and then she probably ain't going to call me because she didn't see me with somebody. And even though I told her we're, you know, whatever. Don't change nothing. Like, women got to just chill. Just be cool. But that's what I'm saying. It's easier to be cool when you got other people to be cool with.
Yeah.
You might see me out with somebody. I need you to chill.
So let me ask you a question. When we get back, right? I want you to talk about what it's like to chill if you don't have somebody else.
Oh, okay, chill. Great.
When we get back, relationships matter.
Relationships matter. Relationships matter.
Welcome back to Relationships Matter. So, Sabrina, talk to me about how do you chill when you don't have options or when you don't have good options?
Yeah, because we got to talk to the women who don't move in that manner.
And I'm not always moving in that manner.
And it's not a negative thing. I'm not trying to villainize it, but
it's just I don't want you to think that, like, I always have these great options. Yeah. Because someone will be like, well, if you have such great options, why are you still single? You know, that's a true statement. I don't always have great options. When I don't have great options, I really work on myself. Like, I am so accountable to myself. I literally sit down and figure out, what did I do last year to get into this position? Like, I measure, how did I operate with this person? What are some things I can do differently? Like, I just really start getting focused on me. And it's so crazy because when I do that, new options kind of come. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, are you spiritual? Do you know? Okay, so the book of Ruth. Ruth was minding her business.
She was.
And got her a good man. He went through the whole family line and was like, do y'all want her, yes or no? She was not in a space where she was even looking for another husband. But she was being a steward, and she was working, and she was in purpose, and she was surviving, and someone was watching her. So when you don't have options, you don't go home and watch all the housewives on the couch
but
with your wine.
She was working in purpose.
Yes. And but she was out and about, and she wasn't. I love the story of Ruth. Ruth was asking, can I pick this up? You know, what can I do? She followed her mother-in-law. You know, she just kind of went wherever she needed to be because she felt like, I can't just sit here and be a widowed, and this is my life. You know, she kept moving, but she really was. Men will find you wherever you are, not hiding in your bedroom, not posting on social media, never going anywhere. I'm not saying he's going to creep through your window. But if you're really doing things that matter and you look good, heavy on the look good, take the bonnets off, put some makeup on, y'all, like, look presentable, men will notice you. And they'll either say, oh, she's too much for me and I'm not ready for that, or that's exactly, I'm intrigued by her. Let me see what she's about. And he will pull you out of that space. So it's not a, so the options will come when you're ready for them, you know, but like, we forget to get ready. We women think that hiding at home is getting ready. You're actually ruining yourself for a relationship because you're not doing any prep work. You're just teaching yourself how to be single. So what are you actually doing to prepare yourself to be a wife? It doesn't just happen naturally. When I first got married, I did not know how to be a wife. I just was married. And I was probably not the greatest wife, you know, because I had to learn to die to self, like, every day. And one thing I learned, the best piece of advice I got was, marriage is like having an expectation and lowering it, and then lower it again, because it's not realistic. And be okay with that. And he's gonna have to do the same thing on your end. You know, men want the saved, classy porn star. You know, it's like, okay, you can't get that every day. Maybe you get 2 out of 3, something, you know, but it's like, your Proverbs 31 woman, she is unattainable, but it's a standard. You know, it's something to work towards. Yeah. No woman is all those things, but it's showing, hey, this is what you kind of want to model, you know. But same with him. He's not going to be all these things that you checked on these boxes, that you want him to check on these boxes. So lower it and make the most important things the most important things. But even before that, when you don't have these options, just work on, what do you need to improve about yourself? Last year, I was not in a position to date anyone. I had 2 knee surgeries. I was on crutches for 11 months. I was at home. What can I do for a man? Being realistic, besides be a liability and a burden to him. I'm not dating anybody like that. Some women feel the opposite. Girl, you need you a man to take care of you. Well, who's going to take care of him? Somebody else, because I can't do it. So when I'm in a better position, okay, so now I'm back on my two feet. You know, he can see that I'm back active. I'm in purpose. Now I'm open to you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about learning how to be less selfish and working on the things that you know will be assets mm-hmm. to a man. And he going to find you 100%.
What are some of the things today, even though you're a healthier version of yourself, what are some of the things that you still feel that you have to work on?
Oh, my attitude and my tone when I talk. Naturally, I'm loud. People probably think I'm screaming now. Naturally, I'm loud. So when I get upset or get like emotional, I get louder. So I have to learn how to, I'm still learning how to tone that down. I do it so much better now because I practice with my kids. Also, that athlete competitive side of me comes out and everything is in a competition. So I naturally sometimes let the guy win, but it's not always natural for me. I'm not gonna say I naturally do it. I have to intently do that. Like Sabrina, he can have his argument because it won't even be an argument if I let him have it, you know, and not always expressing my feelings when I feel something. That doesn't work with every person. So just, I can express it to somebody else, but not in that moment. So for example, there's a guy I'm getting to know now, and he was kind of checking my temperature about like where we're at in the relationship. And even though I know we're in two different spaces, I didn't make him feel like his space was not enough. Like I let him own his space. So because of his past, we all have past. So because of his past, he's going to move a little bit slower than me. I'm okay with that because I have boundaries and there's certain things that he's not going to get from me yet until he moves this way. But I don't have to say that. I'm not going to say, well, you do know until you do this and that, you're not going to get X. Everything doesn't have to be expressed. He'll see it, you know. And then, you know, just remembering, like, you don't have to talk so much. Like, just be quiet. You know, like sometimes as a mother, as an entrepreneur, as a coach, I'm in charge in all of these spaces in my life. With this man, I'm not in charge. He's not in charge. Nobody's in charge. Like, stop trying to be in charge. Just be okay with, this is what he said. If I'm not okay with it, I can act accordingly. I don't have to talk. I don't have to say like, well, you didn't, just be quiet.
What is your view on being submissive?
I think it's extremely challenging for Black women. Mm. And I think this is why a lot of Black men choose outside of our race, because they're raised to submit. Like, white cultures teach their daughters to serve everybody in the house. Mm. It's just crazy. Black women don't teach their daughters this. Most Black women are taught to be fully independent. Mm-hmm. And I used to be offended when a guy used to try to open my door. That's how far I've come, y'all. Like, I was insane. Because I'm like, oh, he must want something from me, so let me race him to the door and open it myself. The stupidest thing ever. Now I'm like, I'm not touching the door. We're just going to stand here, you know? But I wasn't taught that growing up. So, and because of my trauma, I thought if a man is giving you something or doing something for you, it's because he's about to take something from you. Not knowing he's been a gentleman. He's honoring you by doing this. So as Black women, we're not taught that. White women are. And so I think it's something as Black women, we need to intently practice and just learn and read about. Just like read about women who have the spirit of submission, mm-hmm. you know, and just what does she look like? What does she sound like? Most women who easily submit, like they never get loud. Like it's just something about them. Like even when they're upset, they handle it differently, you know, and they don't always have to be right. And submitting is not a bad thing. Like the Bible tells us to, you know, to respect our husbands. A form of respect is submission. But the Bible tells the husband to love your wives because he naturally doesn't do that. We naturally don't respect and they naturally don't love. So it's something we got to learn.
And I also believe too that men should be submitting as well.
Agreed. They should be submit to one another under God. That's what marriage is.
Because we don't talk about that enough.
No, great point.
Have you fully forgiven the men in your life?
Absolutely.
That have done.
Absolutely.
That's good.
And it didn't. It didn't happen until I went to prison.
Okay.
Where I just had this time where I was like, well, I gotta do something in here, you know, because I found myself being so mad. But now I understand the power of forgiveness. I didn't know what it meant. I thought forgiving meant I'm allowing you to do what you did or I'm excusing it. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness has nothing to do with it being an excuse. It's just saying I'm no longer carrying the burden of it. And I don't have to deal with you anymore. No. And I can still forgive you.
Have you forgiven yourself?
100%.
That's beautiful.
But it takes so much work. And it's like not isolation work. Because when you're by yourself, you love yourself. You good with yourself. It's once you get with that next guy, you like, oh, shoot, I'm still mad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He didn't say one word and I didn't flipped out. And he looking like, I just said dishes. Mm-hmm. You know, but it reminds you a man might have threw a dish or whatever the case. Yeah. So it's like being in relationship is when you realize, oh, I need to heal in these areas. So let me get to it. Right. And again, I love therapy. Like, I'm always trying to learn from therapists, from other people, trying to figure out what's wrong with this. How do I fix it? Because during the break, remember I said, I like to date up. I like to date out of my league. Mm-hmm. So I fully understand a man out of my league is not going to deal with my little nuances that I have. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have time for that. So I got to figure that out before I can present myself to him. Same thing with me. I'm not dealing with little nuances from guys that are, I don't like to say beneath me, but guys that I typically wouldn't date because I don't have time for that. Like, your credit ain't right. Call me when your credit is back. You know, like, but the same with a guy, he be like, you ain't getting along with your ex-husband. Well, I don't want to deal with that drama. Fix that and call. Like, I just know the type of man I like does not want to deal with ex-drama.
Right. Absolutely.
So you know what I'm saying?
That's a whole...
So I got to fix that before I can present myself to this man.
No, for sure. And this conversation can go in so many directions. And Queen, you've been amazing.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? And your story and just all of the things that you've had to overcome and, you know, the things, you know, the amount of growth and just the game that you were able to give. And it wouldn't be right, you know, for me if I didn't take the time to give you your flowers.
Thank you.
And tell you you're loved and you're appreciated. And no matter what, I think it's beautiful to see that people who are willing will get there. And
yes.
They will be able to have the things that they want.
It's got
to
be willing.
I also think it's beautiful to hear the different perspectives, no matter what that looks like. And to know that, you know, you're not judged, you know what I'm saying? Because that is your life. That is your story. And that is yours. And that is your power to have. But thank you for coming and sharing this space with us. I hope that you enjoyed this experience.
This was a great space. This is one of the safest spaces that I've been in.
That means a lot. And you know, to know that we're doing our work to provide that, but at the same time, you know, this is family. So, you know, we appreciate you. I know y'all are finna get to kicking it.
Taking her outside somewhere, miss. I don't meet nobody.
You know what I'm saying?
But I'm in my bedroom.
But I think it's a beautiful thing because what's beautiful about this is because you both are successful women. You're both strong women, you know what I'm saying? And you both have, you know, extremely strong spirits and you're mm-hmm. both spiritual.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of beauty there. So I think it's good that people can connect, you know what I mean? And people can relate on different levels. And you know, to be able to do that, you know what I'm saying?
And thank
you
for... teach each other.
Absolutely.
Like, we got to reach back.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And teach one another. I got to help the younger generation. Older generation needs to help me.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't mind picking up the phone to an older wife saying, okay, I don't know what to do. And they'd be like, oh, I done did that a million times. I got you.
So
you know, so...
I think that that's why that's so beautiful. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to be able to bring all of that together and tell you, thank you. You know what I mean? You're more than welcome to come back here anytime.
Oh, yeah. Y'all know I'm
long-winded. No, but it's good, though, because you got a lot to say.
Yeah.
You got a lot to give, and people need to be open to hearing that. And that's how powerful it is because, you know, you have your followers and your supporters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they love and need that game. And then there are some other people out there that haven't heard these perspectives that you've been able to help. And that's
yes.
why, again, these conversations
are so beautiful.
Well,
and that's why I wrote
so
the book, Playing to Win That Love.
Plug it. Go ahead.
It's a dope playbook for mm-hmm. women. There's a lot of sports analogies, but again, it's because relationship is about being on the same team.
Yeah.
You know, you got to learn how to be a teammate before you could be in a relationship. So it's called Play Into When That Love. It's in my bio. It's on my website, sabrinapar.org. Very short read. Oh, and one thing that I included in there, I included a bunch of quotes from all sorts of married couples, like their favorite piece of marriage advice. Mm-hmm. John Sally is in it. People don't know John Sally's been married like 40 years. Ja Rule is in there. He's been married like 31 years. And just their perspective of marriage and relationship. And just, it's just really trying to help people win in their relationships instead of feeling like this isn't working, let's leave. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an advocate for people staying together as much as they can. So make sure y'all check the book out.
Absolutely. We're going to end it there. Relationships matter.